Well, today we watched, Brother Barron just shared with us how the Lord has led in their lives and how things change and the way God faithfully led. And I want to talk to you today about how you follow God's leading and how do you know how God leads. How many of you, when I say the name George Mueller, how many of you that rings a bell to you? When you think of George Mueller, what comes to your mind? Maybe you've thought about prayer. How many of you thought about prayer? He's known for the just incredible answers to prayer. Maybe you thought about orphanages. George Mueller has such a wonderful life story, 19th century preacher. He was a rebellious young man, drunk even as a teenager. He's a drunken young man. He was a swindler, a gambler. And he ran away from home, in a sense, to get away from his father that he thought was so overbearing. And he went to seminary to study to be a minister. And even as a seminary student, he was a drunk and a swindler and a liar and a cheat. The very kind of man that you would want to have serving in your church. But in it all, God wonderfully saved him. And he had such a passion for God. But you know what was interesting? His passion for God and the area that he thought was going to be, was really the desire of his heart, of all things, was Jewish people in Poland. And that was what he wanted to do. And he did his education, and as God was working and leading, he tried all that he could to work with Jews in Poland, and God seemed to close the door. Eventually, he gets to England, and there he's pastoring and serving in England. As God was working in his life, God kept opening doors and closing doors. Eventually, he makes it to Bristol, and I don't mean Bristol, Virginia, or Bristol, Tennessee. I mean Bristol, England. And eventually he makes it there and he is beginning a church, and God burdened his heart for the orphans in his city. He began to pray for God to open doors of opportunity and ministry for these orphans. And then his life is legendary. We read about it over 100 years later still. And many of you, I'm sure, have read biographies. You've heard stories of his answers to prayer and the way God provided orphans and provided buildings and staff and these wonderful answers to prayer of food almost on a daily basis, the way God provided. And it's wonderful. And you read this and now you think of these and you say, what a man of prayer, what a man of faith. Oh, what God did. But do you know how the Lord led George Mueller? The Lord led George Mueller the same way he leads you. The Lord leads step by step by step. And today let's talk about how the Lord leads step by step by step. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to Genesis 24, and I'm going to tell you another story. Genesis chapter 24, Abraham was miraculously called by God. He became the father of the Jewish people. God provided for him a wonderful covenant promise. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. It took a quarter of a century and a miraculous birth, but God gave Abraham and his wife Sarah a son. His name, what was his name? Yeah, Isaac. So God gave him this miraculous child that would be the child who would fulfill all the promises that God gave when God said, you're going to become a great nation. I'll give you a land. Your descendants will be as the stars of heaven, the sands of the sea. Everyone that blesses you, I'll bless. Everyone that curses you, I will curse. In fact, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, Sarah, Abraham's wife, died. And Isaac didn't have a wife yet, and so Abraham decided that he needed to have a wife for his son. And so Abraham told his oldest and his chief servant to go to Mesopotamia, where Abraham had come from, and to find Isaac a wife. He didn't want Isaac to be married to the people in the land of Canaan where he was. He really wanted Isaac to have a wife from his own people. And so Abraham says to his servant, now you need to promise me this. excuse me, you need to promise me that you will bring back a wife for Isaac. Well, Lord, I don't know about this. I mean, what if she doesn't want to come? Or what if she wants me to come back and get Isaac and bring him to her so she can at least meet this guy? He says, now listen, I don't want that to happen. If you don't bring a wife back, you're free of the promise. You don't have to do so. You don't have to carry it out. And so they made a deal. Now, when we make a deal, what do? We shake hands. The way they made a deal, I have to say, I'm glad we shake hands. Abraham took his hand and put it under the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham. How many of you are glad that we shake hands? Would that leave you a little uneasy? It would leave me way out of my comfort zone, I can promise you that. So the servant gets together 10 camels and all the stuff. He makes this long journey north and he goes through the Fertile Crescent into Mesopotamia. And he comes to the city of Nahor. Well, after this long journey, finally the servant arrives at the city. It's about evening time and he stops outside the city at a well. It's about the time when the women were coming out to get the water that they would need for the evening and the responsibilities of the evening. And as they're coming out, Abraham's servant prays, and you've turned in your Bible to Genesis 24, these words in verse 12, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Well, before he's done praying this prayer, watch what happens, verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand. She would have it on her head. She lets it down. And then the Bible tells us that she gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have been done drinking. Now, how many of you know, hot camels been on a long journey. How many of you think that's a lot of water to 10 camels worth? Whew. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Excuse me. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit, or that is to know whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. Well, after this conversation, he goes into the house where she is, where she lives with her family. And he goes into this house and tells the girl's father and her family, and her brother is there as well, the whole story. Talk about how God had called Abraham. And Abraham went to Canaan following the Lord, and how that God told Abraham wanted to have a wife for his son Isaac, and all that God did to provide Isaac, that he wanted to come from his own people, and he had sent him there and told him how he prayed that the girl that comes out and that would give him to drink and would also water the camels, and all that God had done. And he tells the whole story, and then he comes to the end of the account, and he says, now, here we go. This is the big question. Asks her dad and her brother, would you let Rebecca leave home and go with me back to Canaan and marry Isaac? Now, how many of you think that's a pretty big question? Pretty big ask, right? And wouldn't you know, what does God say happens when this question is asked? Look in your Bible, chapter 24, verse 50. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. we cannot speak of unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken." But then again, you know, we need to talk to her first, right? And so you look in your Bible, verse 57, they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Now, the key to understanding this passage is actually found in the words of the servant when he realized this girl that had come and the answer to his prayer and who she was and who her family was. And you read about it in your Bible, chapter 24, verse 26. In verse 27, the man, that's the servant, bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left me destitute, my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And I love the way our Bible translates that. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." Are you looking for God to lead in your life? Everybody has times in our lives when we really say, "Lord, how do you want to lead us?" The Barron family, they've had a really, that's a big, very important question they've had to ask the Lord. How are you going to lead us? And it's important for you. Lord, how are you going to lead? You may be an individual that's at a very important time in your life, and you're asking the Lord, "Lord, would you direct my steps?" And I'll tell you how the Lord leads. The Lord leads just one step at a time. And so today, the question we're asking ourselves is, how can I get in the way for the Lord's leading? Now, usually we say we need to get out of the way because we want our way, not God's way. But God says, if you want to know my leading, then you need to get in the way. And in this passage of Scripture, God is going to help us as he works to reveal what he is doing in the lives of Abraham and Isaac and what he is doing in the world at that time. God teaches us how we can get in the way. Now, to this end, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to speak to us, okay? So, Lord God, excuse me. It is our request that today you would indeed help us and speak to us. You are a God whose very nature and the record of history is that you have intervened in the lives of individuals and given direction. And since you are such a God, it is our request that you would even today help us to know what you are doing in directing individual lives. And for each of us, that will mean something different. We have young people that are really at important times in their lives. We have folks that are at different places in their lives, and they're asking for you to help and give the guidance. And whether we're at a really crucial time or not, we all will have times we're going to ask you what to do. So I'm asking God, the Holy Spirit, that you would help us to be tuned to how you work and have our hearts yielded to you so that you can lead. And we pray, oh God, the Spirit, for your enabling to receive from you today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how do I get in the way? First, look to God's promises. Now, the key words to understanding this passage were the words of the servant, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." But the key to understanding what God was doing, not just in this moment, but what God was doing in the world, the big picture of what God was doing at the time, is actually found in verse 7. Thank you, Brother Tom. Appreciate that. Verse 7. Abraham is speaking to the servant, and he says, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence," or from there. Now, this is a reference of something that God did in Abraham's life 6 decades before the time when he's asking God to give his son a wife. 6 decades before, God made that Abrahamic covenant. And when God made the Abrahamic covenant of all the blessings that would come to Abraham, God said, now there's a land in Genesis chapter 12, verse 5. There's a land that I have for you. And I'm going to put you in that land, and it will be your land and the land of your people. And Abraham was so convinced that the Lord would lead the servant to the wife for his son Isaac, as he was, that God led him from Ur of the Chaldees, and then he stopped at Haran, and then he goes into the land of Canaan. He was so convinced that God was going to lead that he hearkens back to the very promise that God gave him. And so you'll notice then that when God describes himself in this passage and Abraham describes God, do you see the very specific name that God uses? He is identified, verse 7, as the Lord, God of heaven. And you remember when we studied the names of God, when you read in our Bible the uppercase L-O-R-D, and you read about this name, this is a very specific name of God. This is his personal name, his covenant-keeping name, the God who never changes. He is Jehovah God. And when Abraham claims this in faith, that God is going to provide his son Isaac a wife, he addresses God for the God that he knows him to be. He is the God who is powerful. He is God, but he is the God who is the covenant-keeping God who always keeps his promises. In Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, tells us about Abraham. He identifies him, Romans chapter 4, verse 16, as the father of the Jewish people. And he tells about Abraham's life of faith. And oh, Abraham, what a man of faith. He had some ups and downs, but what a man of faith. Let me read to you what the Bible says. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope or confidence that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was asking God for a medical miracle, and indeed it was a medical miracle. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he that had promised was able also to perform. So he believed the God who called him by his word, and he believed the God who made a covenant with him through his word. He believed the God who did the supernatural by the promise of his word. He believed in the God that had worked in his life in spite of his ups and his downs and his failures. He believed again the God that he took by faith. And because God had faithfully in the past worked and led and proven himself, he now came to a place where he said, Lord, I want a son and a wife for my son, and I believe that you can give a son from my own people rather than from people around here. And he did so by faith. And when he did so by faith, the Lord just led to another step. You know, in your life, this is how the Lord leads. You take the Lord by his word in faith, and this is what God says. And because God made this promise, I'm going to claim the promise of God, and I'm going to be willing to take that next step in faith. And then as the Lord shows you that step, then you take another step, and you believe God, and you take that step in faith, and you take that step in faith. And God keeps leading you as long as you take him by faith in his word. And you're maybe at a place in your life where you don't know if you can really believe God in that next step. And if you're at a question where you say, Lord, I don't know if I can believe you. I don't know if I will believe you because this is a step I just don't know. This is the time for you to say, God, I am looking to your word. Your word is true, and I will trust you and obey your word. God leads that way. Is God leading you to take that step? And I'd say, by faith. Take that step. That's how you get in the way. You take God at his word. You step out and obey him in faith. So you look to God's promises. Well, how do I get in the way? Beside looking to God's promises, here's the next thing that God tells us here. You live by God's principles. Now, I don't understand why, but Abraham was adamant about this. He did not want a wife for his son from the Canaanite people. He was adamant about this. And he wanted this wife for his son to come from his own people. And so you'll notice what the Bible says where you've turned in your Bible, Genesis chapter 24. He was so convinced of this that I want you to notice what he says in Genesis chapter 24, verse 4. Thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And then I want you to notice something else. He was so convinced that this was what God wanted to be done. I want you to notice that in verse 7, when he quoted the Abrahamic covenant, he says this in the middle of this quote, believing an expression of faith that he, that's God, shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son. He believed that God would supernaturally intervene. The servant even had questions. Verse 5, you'll notice the question. He said, well, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Now, is that a reasonable question? What? What if she says, you need to come and get Isaac and bring him here and I need to check him out? How many of you moms and dads would say, that's really a good idea? Yeah. He said, no, we're not going to do that. I just believe that God will lead and God will provide. If God's in it, God will take care of it. And the servant could have thought of all the what ifs and all the why nots. And when you think about it, there are a lot of what ifs and why nots that he could have asked the master. But this was for him an important decision because he had to come to the point that he said, okay, I'm the servant, you're the master. And because you've said this is what I need to do, I'll do it. Because you're the master, I'll do what you've asked me to do. And you know, isn't that a principle that's really important for life? To understand that there are times when God places people and authority in our lives that give us direction and to lead and to follow God's principle of God-ordained authority. God puts government. God in a family has authority structure. You have in your workplace authority structures. Society has authority structures. Even within the Lord's church, there's leadership that God places with authority and with responsibility. So this servant had to come to a point and says, okay, you're the master, I'm the servant. And he realized that for him, he didn't have to have everything figured out. But he did have to be a faithful steward of the responsibility the master had given him and said, okay, you're the master, I'm the servant. This is God's principles of life. And in your life, if you want to watch the Lord lead you step by step by step, you're going to have to come to a point where you say, wait a minute, I'm going to make the decisions that I make based on God's principles. What has God taught me in his word? What does God say about this? And now, based on God's principles, I am willing to take another step of faith, believing God in his leading. When you live by God's principles, God will show you that next step. How do I get in the way? I live by God's principles. You say, well, here's a young person. I want God to lead me. I want God to lead me. Wait a minute. Here you go. Are you living by God's principles? You're at a crossroads in your life, and you're trying to decide which way I'm going to go and what's the direction that God has. Wait a minute. As you're looking at considering what to do, stop and think. What does God's principles have to say? How do I apply God's principles in this situation? And when you do so, then what God does is God says, okay, now this is how you get in the way and I'll lead you. Live by God's promise, or look to God's promises, live by God's principles, and God will lead you in your life. You get in the way. There's another way to get in the way. Here we go. The third way to get in the way is you look for God's providence. Abraham wanted a wife for Isaac from his own people. We're told in verse 10 of Genesis 24 that he goes to the city of Nahor. But the city of Nahor is not the name of a city. The city of Nahor is the name of a citizen. Now, Abraham's father had three sons. Genesis chapter 11, verse 26. He had three sons. One of them was Abram. Abraham, we know him now. His initial name was Abram. Then he had another son, Nahor, and he had a third son, Haran. Genesis 11, 28, Haran died. So that means that Abraham's father had two sons left, one Abraham and one Nahor. So the servant goes to the city of Nahor, the city where Nahor had lived, and the city that was known for him. And as he goes there, he prays a very specific prayer, verse 13. I'll read it again. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And whenever he finally asked her family, told all that was going on, and he asked their family, and he found out and very specifically who her family was. Look in your Bible, verse 23. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Wait a minute. Nahor. That's Abraham's brother. Wait a minute. The very girl that came and he prayed, would you have her give me water and be willing to feed my camels? She's of his very own kindred, just as Abraham desired. And then the servant tells this to Abraham's, or to Nahor and, not Nahor, to Bethuel and Laban, her brother. And tells all about this, what God was doing and what they were asking, and asked the big question. And wouldn't you know it, that dad was willing to let her leave, and then she was willing to leave. And as they looked at it, they looked and said, this is something that God is doing. And they saw that God had providentially revealed himself, because each of these families had their own life. They were living their own way. And yet, God was doing something so much bigger. Now, whenever we live, we see just our life. And we see this portion of what's happening in our life. And we see it unfold. But we don't see everything. But God is a God that sees everything. And as a God that is working far beyond what you and I could ever imagine, this is when we look to his providential hand. Can we see that the hand of God is at work? That's a good way to live. How have I seen the hand of God working in my life? There was a church potluck. And on one end of the table that's spread in the center of the room, on one end of the table, there's a bowl with apples, and somebody had written this sign, apples, take one per person, remember, God is watching. On the other end of the table, there were cookies, and somebody had scribbled with a crayon this sign, cookies, take all you want, God is watching the apples. Did you ever find that you limit God because you can own? We think that God only sees this. This part, this sphere, this part of our life. But listen, God sees it all. And the God who sees it all is a God that works providentially. And as you watch God work, then you'll know, okay, this is the step that I take. So you look for how God is working, and that's how you get in the way. So how do I get in the way? You look to the promises of God, you live by God, or you look to God's promises, and you live by God's principles, and you look for God's providence. But then I want you to notice something else, and that is, as God leads, would you lift up to the Lord, or lift up the Lord in praise? So what a wonderful prayer that this man prayed. Very specific. God, if you're in this, here's what I'm asking you to do. And just what he had asked, God did. And so verse 26, the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. He goes and tells dad and her brother all that was taking place and tells the whole story. He recounts the event. Verse 48, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And then whenever dad and big brother heard all that God was doing, I want you to notice what happens and what is said in verse 52. It came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And they had agreed. And he looks and he sees all that God has done all the way along. And in gratitude and praise, he bows to the ground, showing his submission to the Lord, his gratitude for how God had faithfully led him all the way. I want to tell you, see, when you learn to follow God step by step by step by step, do you know what's going to happen in your life? I'm going to tell you, this is what you can expect. You're going to be able to have stories where you can say, wow, look what the Lord did. This is what God did in my life, and he is a real God that's working. And when he shows himself, becomes such a motivation for the God who has proven himself faithful and powerful and real to again say, Lord, I give myself in praise to you, and all that I am, I bring to you. You know, today, this is a day for you to make some decisions about how you're responding to God's leading. He's taking steps in your life. He's showing you that step. And for you, this is a decision. Am I going to be willing to yield myself to the Lord for whatever he wants to do and trust him? And when you do, your submission to the Lord is what real worship is. Would you stand with me, please? Our hearts are, heads will be bowed, and we will seek the Lord in prayer. Now, Lord God, you are a God who is faithful and true. You are a God who providentially moves in the lives of people like us. And for all of us, there are decisions to be made because you have, even on this day, revealed yourself. And it is my prayer for that individual, that young person that you're speaking to about his and her life. That person that doesn't yet know Jesus as Savior, and you have been dealing with that individual, and now this is the day where they have, again, you've been gracious and given them the opportunity to turn from their way and put their trust in Jesus alone. That individual that's been seeking direction and they don't know, and this is a day you're putting them in the way. And so make this a day of joyful submission and worship as we, as individuals, yield all that we are to you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll